evening, Calvary.
I hope that you count it an honor and a privilege to be back in the Lord's house, because truly that it is. If you don't believe that, ask Brother Archie or Brother Tim, some that's been under the weather a little bit for a little while, and they'll tell you how quick you can get. I'm just getting about depressed if you don't get to be in the Lord's house around God's people. And I'm appreciative of those folks being able to come back, because and I know the others. I know Tommy and Mary Doris were out. Many of you are not here Sunday because of the weather. Where's Larry Dale Ross at? That booger back here. He said, I just don't get out in bad weather. Now, Larry Dale, he could have rode that golf cart over here and been here in 5 minutes. You might have got run over by Chad Spears in a big truck, but you could have rode that thing over here. I'm trusted. Everybody's power's back on. Everybody's healthy and everybody's fine. It's good to be here tonight. It really is. Good number on this Wednesday night. We had a good service Sunday in spite of the crowd being way off. We still enjoyed being here and being in the Lord's house. If you've got a copy of God's Word, we're going to be tonight in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. I don't know that this has ever happened in my whole time in ministry, that I preached the same message in the same day concerning the same scriptures, except that this be it. I don't know if it's ever happened. I don't remember that. But this morning, some may know, I preached this morning at the Millers Creek Christian School to a bunch of the, I don't know what ages they were. It was a whole lot of the students, probably 3rd to 12th grade. I don't know what age these children are up there. They all look little to me because I'm old and decrepit and everything. But anyway, had a great time up there. The Lord gave great liberty. And we used these scriptures. It's going to preach a little different tonight than it did up there. But nevertheless, it's the same scriptures. And I hope that it'll be a blessing unto somebody tonight. Those kids that were up there today, it preached in a different way. I preached up there about 6 months or a year ago, and I preached on that on Eutychus and how that window that he sat in was that window of opportunity. You've heard kind of that message or along that same line here. And those kids truly are in an opportunity to hear the gospel. They're not in the public school system. Brother John, your children were there. You taught up there for a while. And you know what I'm talking about. They have a unique opportunity to hear a Christian-based education every single time that they come to school. And it's not always that way in the secular world. Not that our school systems are terrible in Wilkes County. However, it's different when you're in a private school setting and you get Christian education. It is a little different, and they have a great opportunity. Well, today I went back and kind of followed that up with these scriptures, and you'll see kind of the thought behind it all. I think I went to bed last night with one thing and woke up with this. Actually coming home from work, I went in early, and as I was going home to get Miss Cindy to go over there and preach, the Lord changed it completely around and gave me this, and then we're going to use it again tonight. So I would invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 13. I would have you be praying for Brother Chris, because I was going to say he's preaching tonight, but they started at 6:30 and it's almost 8 o'clock, so they're done. He's probably already on his way back, and if you ain't real careful, he'll probably slip in back there. And if you miss, that's just the way Brother Chris is. If he can get two places at one night, he'll do it. But anyway, tonight before we go, on behalf of Brother Potts, I would like for those that will and want to join me in the altar. This is before we leave tonight, and have a special altar of prayer for his dear wife. His heart's heavy this evening. I haven't got a chance to talk to him about everything going on, but he would like for us to have a special altar of prayer for Miss Jean. So if y'all will tonight, whenever we get ready to conclude the service, we'll end it up in the altar praying. And it's not just for Miss Jean. It is on that account that we would have an altar call, but I'm sure you've got somebody that needs prayer. I need prayer. The church as a whole need prayer. We all need prayer. Anyway, we'll go ahead and read our scriptures tonight. We'll be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 13, and we'll pick up our reading in verse number 10 tonight, and we'll read down through verse number 17, with the Lord as our help. The Bible says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering?
And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Brother Derek, would you ask God to bless our scripture reading? Amen. As you're being seated this evening, I would ask you this simple questions that I guess each one of us have to answer in the affirmative. Have you ever had a problem? Yay. Don't we all have a past? Yay. Don't we all have physical limitations to our own ability? I think we do. And when you're looking at this lady here in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, we're going to find out that she's none different than any single one of us. This lady, and it is a lady because it tells us there in the 10th verse that, or in the 11th verse, that the woman come. And when it said that she was bowed over or bowed over, it just simply meant that she was doubled over. It simply meant that maybe she had a curvature of the spine. The infirmity that she had had drawn her over. And I don't mean this to be mean or anything, but Miss Kay, as I've noticed you, honey, over the years you have drawn over. Is that right or wrong? I said, it's a fact. You can't stand up straight. And I would invite any of you to look at Sister Kay, not with an accusatory eye, but look at her and understand that Miss Kay does not walk erect and upright like the rest of us. She is drawn over, and she can't help that. That is a limitation that she has. And that limitation would sidetrack her from doing a lot of the things that maybe you and I would like to do. And I understand that. Miss Kay, honey, we think about you quite often. But this lady would have been similar to Kay in that she was drawn over, and she had been that way for 18 long years. That's a long time for you, Brother John, stand up just 1 second and bend yourself over. And then I want you to stay like this in a bowed position. Now you stay there for the rest of the service, and then I'll come back and see you in 18 years. That would be a long time to be in that position. For 18 long years, this lady has been in that position. So I want you to think about what position you've been in for any length of time, be it 18 years, 8 days, 8 minutes, or whatever. Every one of us is in a position. And I got to thinking about this, and it's, the way it's going to preach tonight is going to be entirely different than what we used at the Christian school this morning. But I would ask you, does anyone of you in here know the name of Tim Lee? If you know the name Tim Lee in the preaching realm, raise your hand up. What's the unique thing about Tim Lee? He doesn't have any legs. Tim Lee was a distinguished United States Marine Corps Marine veteran. He lost both of his legs in and around 1970, but he did not let the fact that he lost his legs from here down in the jungles of Vietnam, he did not let that define him. He rose above those limitations, and he went on to do a great and a mighty work even to this day, serving the Lord with gladness and singleness of heart, has a family of his own, and has ministered the gospel above 40 years, and he did not let that sidetrack him. And then I wonder, and Tim Lee might ask you the question, anybody know the name of David Ring? Anybody know the name David Ring? What's unique about David Ring? He says, my name's David Ring. I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? And he says it almost in that same drawn voice. But what's unique about him, a man that's born with spina bifida, a man that's born with a cerebral palsy, a man that gets his legs blown off in the jungle of Vietnam, they do not let that catastrophic event that was put on their life, be it of no choosing of their own. You can't help what comes your way sometimes, especially if you're born that way. But they did not let that define their lives. They rose above that. And even as David Ring would say, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? What his question is, why aren't you doing more for God? Why aren't you witnessing for the cause of Christ? Why aren't you rising above your own limitation and letting that a limitation be back yonder somewhere in a past distant life and going for the glory of God? And I ask you that question tonight. What is your limitation? What's your handicap? What is it that has defined you? This lady had one. You have to admit that the Bible said that Satan hath bound her. Now, I didn't make that up, Brother Derek. The Bible said that in verse number 16. Jesus said, and when he was answering those that were the accusers, saying, why in the world you do this on the Sabbath day? Jesus said, should this woman whom Satan hath bound, should she not be delivered? Has Satan bound anybody here? Has Satan got his confines around somebody here that they won't rise above that, that they can't be delivered from that? I believe Satan's got a lot of us bound down. I believe he puts more fetters on us than we're able to break ourselves. But brother, I'm honest with you, Brother Chris. God's able to break those bindings. God's able to deliver you from that shackles you and hold you back. And let me ask you this question. Do you want deliverance or do you not? The problem is most of us just simply don't want delivered. Miss Kay, can I ask you something very personal, honey? Would you not like to stand upright again? I mean, just stand whole and tall. Honey, I know you would. And I look at you. Are you in pain? I know sometimes you are. Yeah. I know that you are because you shared that with me. Sometimes your back just kills you. I know that you would like to stand up straight. You would love to do that. Let me ask you this question. Why don't we that are able-bodied, why don't we that are upright of heart, why are we that have already been delivered from the bonds of Satan, why aren't we doing more for the cause of Christ than we're already doing? I just asked that question to throw it out there. But let's look at the lady that we're talking about here. In chapter number 13, verse number 10, the Bible said that the Lord was teaching in the synagogue on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together, and she could in no wise lift up herself. This woman was in pain. Miss Kay said she's oft in pain. My friends, that's what being bound by Satan will do. It will cause you pain. Brother Tim, it won't just hurt you, I promise you. Jen's going to feel that binding. Gary, if you're bound by Satan, if he puts fetters on you and draws you, it's not going to just be felt by Brother Gary. Miss Regina's going to know that my husband's got something going on. You yourself would know if you're close to your wife at all, if you're close to your children at all, if you're close to somebody at all. My wife noticed something just a little while ago when I come down from the choir. She asked me a question. She said, are you okay? And I said, yes, I am. She said, are you in pain? And I said, yes, I am. And I said, how did you know? She said, because I know, I can see it on you. She knows that, Brother Tam. She knew that I was coming down out of the choir in pain, and she wanted to know, are you okay? I won't go into all that, but I've got some things I've got to get fixed. I do. Every time I turn around, y'all are killing me. No, you're not killing me. If you remember about a year ago, I had the heart thing. She worried to death over that. It was just a heart. It wasn't anything big or serious, but I got it fixed. I've got a hernia. Got three of them, matter of fact. Y'all remember when I picked up the little sheep up here and I held that sheep? That was probably not the greatest thing that I ever did as an illustration because it caused me to have a hernia, another hernia. And it's very painful, and it's been acting up today because I've been on my feet all day. But what, you said, why'd you bring all that up? Because my wife knows when I'm in pain. She recognized it, Brother Tim. When I come down from the choir, she recognized that. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you're in pain, if you have a spiritual constraint put on you, I promise you, it won't just affect you. It will show up elsewhere. It will show up in the ministry. It will show up in your home. It'll show up in your children, your grandchildren, your family. And this lady definitely had a physical pain. The Bible said for 18 long years that she was bowed together and she could in no wise lift herself up. Tell you, she was double over. She was in pain. And I want you to know something. Every one of us are right where she's at. She was not just in pain for the moment, Brother Tam, but she had been that way for 18 years. She had a past, and that past was coupled with pain. Many of you tonight have got a past. In that past, throughout your history, throughout the data that you could compile of your life and scroll it across the screen, what is the life of Grant Souther? It's got some painful moments in it. But aren't you glad for deliverance? Aren't you glad for the Master? Aren't you glad that she knew where to go? Even as she's got these limitations put on her body. Let me ask you this, and this is how it preached up there today. I'll just hit this as a lick and go. Don't be defined by your limitations. Rise up above them and go on and do something for the glory of God. I've seen people, Brother Tam, that couldn't read above a fifth grade education, stand up there and preach that Bible like it's nobody's business. How'd they do that, Brother John? They had the touch of God on their life, and they were not defined by their third or fifth grade education. I've seen your daddy, Brother Tam, take print about that big. Had it blown up. You remember that? One of the last times he preached up here, Miss Karen, he had print about that big. Why? Because he can't see this fine print on the Bible. So he had somebody to type it off, Brother John, and had it in great big block print, about 48 font. And you know why? Because he wanted to do what God said to do, and he couldn't read the fine print, so you overcome that. You adapted to overcome it. Don't let some limitation define you. Don't you let that set you back. Rise up above that handicap. Rise up above that. And I'm telling you, go to the one that's able to fix it and heal it. So if you'll notice, the first thing that I'm bringing out tonight is I did want you to notice her limitation. It's very easy to see hers. She's doubled over. It may be easy to see yours, honey. You're in a wheelchair. It may be easy to see others if they come in with a white cane with a red tip on the tip of it. They're blind. You see them as a service dog, with a service dog at a place, and they're making their way. It seems like they're doing okay. Why? Because they're used to that. They follow that dog. That dog stops, they stop, and they're able to work with that. And they do that. Cindy and I watched a movie not long ago, and it was a true story. It's a great story. But I was watching them read in Braille. And I'm thinking, my soul, how do they do that? Little dots and bumps and stuff. And they're reading just like, Brother Derek, I'm not talking about reading like this. They're like, they're just reading. And I'm like, how are you doing that? How do they do that? They've risen above some limitation. I wonder if we're just going to let things define us and say, well, that's just the way it is. I can't do nothing about it. You might be right in that you can't. But have you ever thought the Lord can? Read a verse of scripture open in the prayer room tonight. I won't turn back over there now, but it's nothing is impossible with God. So just have to believe that. So first, if we noticed her limitations, I want you to see verses number 12 and 13. The Bible said, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said unto her, woman, thou art loose from these, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice her Lord. The same Lord that she was talking to is the same Lord that ministers to us tonight. He was doing it in the physical presence of this woman at that particular time in her life. I mean, she's there and he's there. Brother Ken, it's just as if we're talking to one another. He's there, she's there. It was a physical encounter, one person meeting another person. But we don't do it that way tonight. The Lord's gone back to heaven. The bodily resurrected Savior's gone back to heaven. But Brother Tam, he's just as much here tonight in the personage of the Holy Spirit. And he can do that work through you and through me if we'll only allow him to. But I heard your daddy say this, Brother Tam, many times, that the Lord, being a perfect gentleman, won't force himself on any of us. And he is. He's not going to force his way into your life. You're your own free moral agent. You're going to do pretty much what you want to do. But do you want to stay bowed over? Do you want to stay bound? Do you want to stay confined? Do you still want to be limited? Do you still want to have the constraints of past problems and all of your infirmity? Do you still want to have that saddled to you? Do you still want to be yoked up with that? I don't. I don't like the past that I've had. I don't like those things that troubled me back then. And I don't want to roll those things fast forward. I don't want them bothering me now, Brother Eric. I want them to stay in the past. There's a reason our rearview mirror's about that big and our windshield's this big. Don't go through life looking in that little bitty square. Go through it looking forward through that great big windshield of faith and go forward for the cause of Christ. So here we are in 12 and 13. Notice our Lord. My, what a Lord we've got. The Bible said that he laid his hands on her. My, the very hands of God laid on her. Brother Gary, the one that spoke or flicked his finger and hung that star in its socket. The one that went like this and caused the earth to rotate at its proper speed. Those hands. We sing that song, he's got the whole world in his hand. Those hands are laid on that woman. And all of a sudden, not 10 minutes, not 2 weeks, not 12 years, immediately, that woman for 18 years had been doubled over. That woman stood up erect. Do you know that when you got saved, you went from being bound by Satan? And the Bible says that. I didn't make that up. Read 16 for me, Brother Tan, or just get me to 16. The Bible said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years, be loosed? Should she not? Think about that for a moment. How many people here tonight have been bound for a lengthy time, and all of a sudden the Lord comes by, and Brother John, it's immediate. You didn't go and dry out and detox. You didn't go to Black Mountain. You didn't go to Broughton or any other place to get your deliverance, Brother John. You went to an altar of repentance somewhere, and your sins were atoned for. And at that very moment, immediately the ankle bones were made whole, and he went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Immediately she raised up. She had done that in 18 years. Why? Because her deliverance was immediate. I want you to see in verse number 13 down through what happens when the touch of God comes on your life. I told you first to notice the limitations that were on this life. Then I told you to notice the Lord. And I want you to see what your pastor's doing tonight, preaching God's word. I want you to see your own life tonight. Notice this, Brother Tim, the liberty. You said, what is liberty? What is liberty? Define it for me, somebody. Being free. The act of being free. Can you imagine, Brother Derek, having been bound and not having any liberty to go do what you want to do because you're bound down, you're bowed over, and Satan hath bound you. You can't go do what you want to do. You can't go to the places you want to go. You can't be with the people you want to be with. Why? Because Satan hath bound you. But all of a sudden, you raise up, and the hand of God hath touched you, and you are now liberated from that which had bound you for so long. Brother Tam, I'm liberated to preach God's word. You said, what was that? Somebody said, what? Being free? Being set free. Are we then free to sin, Brother Tim? No, the Bible said that we continue in sin in Romans 6 and 1, that grace may abound. God forbid, we don't do that. You are free from sin, not free to sin. And that's what the Bible said. With the Son of Man shall set you free. You're free indeed. You've been set free. And look what happens when that woman, in that 13th verse, what happens at the latter part of that? Because of her deliverance. Bible said, he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. The title of my message up there today was, God Can Straighten You Out. That was the name of the message up there. God can straighten you out, you bunch of young people. Well, guess what, you bunch of old people? God can straighten us out. He can make straight the crooked places. He can. He can raise up the valleys. He can bring down the exalted or elevated prideful lives that we have. But Brother John, he knows how to straighten us out. Amen. The Bible says she was made straight. She went from that crooked, drawn up person to one that was made erect and stand upright. In the latter part of that, she's got her shout back. She's got a shout back. What did the latter part say, Brother Tam? The last three words. And glorified God. When something as big as God touches your life, you're going to give glory back to the one that did that. I'm telling you, whenever somebody does something of that magnitude, Brother Steve, you feel almost a bond to them. Well, guess what? She had been bound by Satan, and now she has been unloosed by Jesus. But in that unloosing by the Lord, she is now bound to him. And that's the way that it works, brother. You're bound by the constraints of grace through faith, and you're saved by his glory. Bless God, you ought to go ahead and rejoice in it and give him a little praise. You've been set free. To be set free is to be liberated. To be liberated is to be like this lady. I don't know who here tonight might be needing a healing. I don't know here. I can go several different directions with this. I'm going to go this route. You might be here tonight. I called it a limitation. You call it, I'm just a little handicapped. Did David Ring let that define him? He surely didn't. Did Tim Lee let that, did he lose his legs in the jungle of Vietnam to lay down for the rest of his life and just lick his wounds? He sure didn't. I'd love to get those men in our area, but you're going to fly somebody from Texas or bring somebody from Nashville, Tennessee, you know, you're probably going to have a huge expense. I mean, I'm not saying that God couldn't do it. If God wants me to do it, we'll get them. But those men, Brother Derek, have risen above the occasion to lay down and do nothing. I wonder of us that are able-bodied, how much of us we just sit back, let somebody else do it. So we're going to sit back and let a man with cerebral palsy or a man that has no legs, we're going to let them. You say, well, God put that calling on their lives. I'm glad they wasn't limited, and I'm glad they rose above that limitation. Tonight, have you met the healer? Tonight, have you got deliverance? This lady rejoiced over, look what it said, she gloried in the Lord. The Bible says in the latter part of that, she glorified God. Now listen, there's always going to be somebody sitting around with a big nose and stuck up in the air, heady, high-minded, like these hypocrites, these Pharisees and the Sadducees. Everybody always waiting to accuse the Lord. He called them hypocrites, the way he called them. Saying one thing, doing another. Speaking with double tongues and double-minded, and they're unstable in all their ways. But the Lord just dressed them down and said, shouldn't this woman, whom Satan hath bound for 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed? I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm not bound anymore. I'm glad that I've been set free. I'm glad that you too can be set free tonight. I'm glad that he's given me a shout. You said, you don't shout. I've heard shouted before. I got a shout in my heart. I try to shout once in a while. I say, amen, preacher, preach on. You know what causes us to lose that shout? To live back there. I can't imagine, Miss Kay, I can't imagine you, honey, if you went from here to here, the joy you would have in your heart. I don't imagine that you'd walk around saying, I can't believe he did that. I'll go back to the way that I used to be. The Bible said the dog in his vomit, he ain't going to return to that vomit. The pig to its mire. A pig goes back to his mire because he's still a pig. A dog turns back to his vomit because of that tendency. He's got to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The reason we are so drawn to sin and we have that propensity to go back to sin, Brother John, is because we didn't get delivered from that sin. If sin is not repugnant or repulse you, if it doesn't bother you, you got a problem. You're probably too attached to it. Could be too accustomed to it. Too drawn to it. So tonight, as I guess just Macy come over and play something soft on the piano. You said, boy, we closed up quick tonight. We are. We got a little conference here. We're going to have an altar of prayer. We're going to give people time to deal with God. Brother Chris, are you still handing out tracts?
Yes, sir.
Keep handing out tracts. Troy, are you still preaching?
Amen.
Keep preaching. Ryan, are you still serving? Keep serving. Keep inviting people to church. You know what? In this church, I've noticed in the last little bit, I'm not pinning roses on Ryan, but I will tell you this. This little corner right over here, Brother Tam, they're loving Calvary. Have you noticed something is taking place? Where's all the visitors going when they come in here, Brother John? They come in, they go right over there. That little corner. I don't know what's your friend's name, Brother Ryan. Him and his family have been coming every Sunday. Brother Scott and his family coming in here, and they're all filling up. You know why? Because somebody's inviting them. Somebody's telling them, you got to get up here and be a part of this. It's bigger than we are. Get up here. You're telling people. Go tell people. Brother Rob, you're going to keep driving. You're going to keep serving. Keep going to get them. You're making a difference. And little kids, I sat right here the other day, and one of them little kids came up to me, started asking me about salvation. He's only 8. Keep bringing him. We had one the other day that come up, and he's been asking Miss Cindy, asking me all the questions pertaining to the things we're preaching about. You know what we're going to do, Brother Tam? Hopefully we'll keep getting them. You know why? Because Satan is going to try to bind them. That woman was bound for 18 years. He's going to try to get them when they're young. He's going to try to keep them bound until they're well up in age. And you know what, Brother Steve? The statistics of those getting saved above the age of 50, Brother Tam, it go way, way down. Why? Because they made it this long without him. Why made it this far? Well, brother, you can make it all the way to the grave. You can make it, Brother Archie, up into your 80s. You make it up to your 90s, even 100 without him. But what are you going to do whenever your number's up, your time's up? That's when you're going to need him. I don't know what the statistics are, but I tell you this, I wouldn't play chance with it. As Miss Macy's playing tonight and we stand all over the house, Christ demonstrated to this lady what his power was. If you've been saved by God's grace, you know what I preached about tonight. Is salvation, Brother John, when you were, what, 26, 25? Isn't that the most liberating thing that ever happened to you? Brother Tim, you were a man that got saved, I think, well in established years. What, your 20s, 30s? 30s. Wasn't that the greatest liberating thing that ever happened to you when you got saved? I'm telling you, my friends, it sets you free. Ruby, don't you feel that way when you got saved by God's grace? It was liberating. The weight of a thousand worlds, Brother Ken, is gone. That physical binding by Satan that made you just different. You couldn't go and do what you wanted to do. You didn't even want to be around some people, Brother Dean. If I get around them, they're going to try to get me to come to church. Get around them, they're going to tell me to quit that drinking. They're going to tell me to quit doing this or quit doing that. They might even tell me how much the Lord loves me. Well, I'm not going to get around them. Every time I do, somebody trying to witness to me. That's what Satan does. He'll bind you to where you don't want to be around them. Amen. Well, you do, Brother Charles. You start to try to steer clear of them. Ryan, you remember how it was? Sometimes some of them houses around there, we'd go to the door. And maybe Robert, Boyd, and somewhere around there knock on the door. Didn't have no time for that. Ain't got no use for that. You boys knocking on the wrong doors. We're going to keep on knocking. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on serving. Keep on preaching. Keep on doing that. Because it just could be that there's a person in our midst that's been bound a long time. And you just might have the very words that would prick their heart and cause them to be set free. You said, what are those words? I don't know. Brother Tim, I thought about that 1,000 times over. What did that preacher preach the night I got saved? Like I told you before, I asked everybody around the community. I called people. I asked my mom before she passed away. Who preached? Don't know. Anybody write it down? Not that we know of. You know why? Because it wasn't of a man. Not a pastor or an evangelist, a missionary. It wasn't of them. I don't even know what he preached the night I got saved. I remember number 44 in the Redback Hymnals. The only thing I remember about that night, but I don't even know what he preached. But I know one thing. I was the one that had been bound. And then I got deliverance. And that liberation was something I've never gotten over. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate you guys being here tonight. And as Miss Macy plays, I would just invite anybody, bow your heads all over the church house tonight. If anybody needs to come, I invite you to come. Please. I'm telling you what, it's exciting. It's exciting whenever you give your heart and life to Christ. Like I said, that's the greatest moment in a man's life. You see, you don't remember that first birth, but you won't forget that second one. For 18 years, she had been bound. But on that day, the Bible said that she had been loosed from this bond. Why don't you make your heart right with God? Sin is ever before you. When you go to bed, it's there. When you get up, it's there, staring you in the face. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you.